Very good morning to you, my dear listeners. It's a Monday morning, and our time is about 35 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. And I hope you have a very restful weekend, and you're ready actually to face or to take on the week. So it's a very good morning to you, wherever you find yourself this morning. It's quite getting, you know, the cold has subsided a little bit, especially in this part of the world. So, all right. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Michael Chiavelli, and you are tuned into the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development, development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we're here to make sense of it all together. But it's not just about us talking. It is also about you. Share your thoughts, opinion, and perspectives on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. And as always, every Monday from quarter past seven, we will be crossing to my colleague in Windhoek for the F&B Namibia segment. And around 8 o'clock, we cross back to Ondangwa and get back to me and continue as usual. So make sure that you stay tuned in for F&B Namibia segment that is coming your way at just in 15 minutes, quarter past seven. So we will cross over to Windhoek. So, and let's get into our segment of On This Day in Africa. So on this day in Africa today, on June 16, a significant historical event in Africa is the Soweto Uprising, which began on June 16, 1976 in Soweto, South Africa. So this was a student-led protest against the apartheid government policy of opposing Afrikaans as a medium of instruction in black schools, alongside English. So the protest started as a peaceful march involving between 3,000 and 10,000 students, but turned violent when the police responded with a tear gas and live ammunition, so killing several students, including Hector Peterson, whose image became iconic worldwide. You know, that guy carrying a baby, getting another student. So the uprising spread across South Africa and marked a major turning point in the struggle against apartheid, contributing to the eventual downfall of the apartheid regime in 1994. So now, in recognition of this event and its significance, June 16 was now designated as the Day of the African Child by the African Union in 1991. So this day is observed annually to promote children's rights and commemorate the sacrifice made by the youth during the Soweto uprisings. So additionally, in South Africa, June 16 is now public holiday known as the Youth Day, established in 1995 to honor the youth who participated in the uprising and to reflect on the progress and challenges facing young people today. So that's what we have on this day in Africa. So that's the most significant event that we have on this day in Africa. So Monday the 16th, Monday the 16th of June, our thought for the day: do not trust in a liar, even if he tells the truth. Do not trust in the liar, even if he tells the truth. So the proverb carries a powerful caution about reputation and credibility. So if one gains the reputation for being a dishonest, nobody would believe you, even when you tell the truth. So trust isn't just about factual accuracy. It is also about the expectation of honesty. So this proverb essentially say we weigh reliability as much as correctness. So, yes, so whoever tells the story also, it depends the reliability, how reliable is somebody. Even if the story is true, so how reliable is that person's? So that's our today's thought of the day, where do not trust in a liar, even if he tells the truth. So that's our thought for the day. So good morning, if you're just joining us. And so thanks for joining us here on Eagle FM. And stay connected with us anywhere, anytime. So with just your phone, you can easily access our news, your favorite shows, and so much more. Simply download Eagle FM mobile app from Google Play or the App Store, and you are set to go. So stay informed on business, economic, and policy update. Get your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Just send your name and email via WhatsApp to 081-241-44. 081-241-44. And our apps, Imba and the Eagle FM app, make it simple to promote your products and services to a wider audience. Don't forget to leverage our highly active social media platform to boost your brand's visibility. Ready to get started? Contact us today at 083-288-400. 0 8 888 083 888 400. So our time, it's about 43 minutes past the hour of 7. I will then cross to Windhoek, my colleague, HD, get started, with F&B, segment. So, and around 8 o'clock, we will get back again, and, we'll get back to Ondangwe Studio, back to me, and we continue as usual. So stay tuned. We will start very soon.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Zeitha nina omayakuro ni randito ma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimepo yomo programa zetu. Moambo dengira selma odara heta tu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now tuned into the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia.
A very good morning. Thank you to Tata Mike from the Ondangwa studio. As it says, we are now tuned into the F&B segment, and I am joined by none other than F&B customer client specialist Theo Hidulika to educate us once more about fraud awareness, fraud prevention, and all things account security. Theo, how are you doing this morning?
Quite well, HD. How are you
doing? I'm doing well, thank you as well. So let's get right into it. As I said, we are back again to educate Namibia about our bank account security and fraud awareness. And I want to start with the proactive measures that we can take. So as a client, what are some proactive measures I can take to protect myself from any fraudulent activity.
All right. Thank you, Eagle FM, for having me. You guys are always so lovely to host me here, FMB. So some of the measures that you should take as a client, basically, is simple measures, not unique. Everything that you should do in your normal day-to-day life. Number one, don't share your banking information. Very important. Doesn't matter with who. That includes your OTPs, your card numbers, your PINs, anything related to your bank account. Do not share it. Number two, please have unique passwords. What do we mean by that? We notice that me, myself, is guilty. Yeah. We have one password for everything. Yeah. Windows, Facebook, Netflix. Try to have unique passwords as well. Number three, monitor your account. Respond to your account in contact whenever you get a notification and so forth. So monitor your balances. And also the other methods that we have or functionalities we have is on the FNB app.
Mm-hmm.
For starters, you know that you can temporarily block your card on the FNB app as many times as you like. You can also limit the limits for international payments and so forth. So it's a simple things that will keep you safe. Don't share passwords, keep your information safe, use unique passwords and so forth. They have those small, minor things that we tend to overlook goes a long way, yeah.
Oh, so you can, on the app, you can block and unblock your card as many times as required.
Yes, and to even go further, our app works for free on the MTC network.
Okay.
So even if you don't have data, it will still work. So you can block, unblock, block, play with your limits and so forth. For example, what I do is, I have two cards. I have one for my online,
uh-huh.
one for my daily, so forth. Online plus PlayStation, Apple Music. So I set the limit for international to those amounts.
Mm-hmm.
Once it goes up, I block it. I'm not using it. So it's these minor, small security features that we have and steps that you can take to protect yourself always.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
And as we've heard from you before, that most fraud cases happen because due to a human error. Mm-hmm. It's not always that there's some like super sophisticated technology just taking money from people's accounts. So as a customer support specialist, when you've been on the phone dealing with all these cases, what are some common errors people have been making when it comes to perhaps unknowingly assisting fraudsters?
All right. So the biggest issue that we have picked up, it's called social engineering.
Okay.
So what does social engineering mean?
Mm-hmm.
It means that you are con, or you are or somebody's trying to convince you in providing your banking information, the one that we said you should not share in the previous question. So what will happen is basically you will receive a call, an email, or any sort of communication with a fabricated story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, be that it's a pyramid scheme, be that it's an investment scheme, but these individuals will then get a hold of you,
mm-hmm.
came up with a very nice, elaborate story, and then try to convince you to share those information. So that is what we have picked up, as well as links.
There's
also links that you click on. So we will still go back to the fundamentals. Do not share your information.
Yeah.
Sometimes now, the clients are unaware of this. They are unaware.
Mm-hmm.
And this now brings it, basically, when they come to us, it's now unfortunately not that it's too late.
Yeah.
You'll pick up that they made an error in that particular sense. So don't give your information.
Of course, of course. Keep it safe, tight to the chest, as they say.
Yeah.
So a common question that we've been getting now on our social media is that after people call the customer support number, which is 0612992222, and then they report suspicious activity, and let's say I stop a fraud attempt before it happens through a phone call or anything. Does FNB work with the relevant authorities to, let's say, trace the number and try to catch and maybe punish the person who tried to call me with, you know, whatever fraudulent message they had for me?
Alright, so I'm not going to go in depth with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, those are very sensitive topics. But yes, there is definitely a procedure to be followed. We do engage with our external stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
That includes the Namibian police, our forensics teams, our compliance team. So there is definitely a procedure, and it does yield results in terms of what will happen after that. So there is a procedure that the clients needs to undergo.
Yeah.
If you have reported, for example, you have reported that you were defrauded, we first need to establish what happened,
mm-hmm.
what was compromised. We then document it, log that, and then assist you. We will then refer you to the Namibian police for you to open up a civil case or criminal case. And then Namibian police with our forensics team will then engage with all stakeholders, including mobile communication,
yeah.
as you mentioned, for number that are registered and so forth. So yes, the bank definitely goes the extra mile to make sure that you're covered,
mm-hmm.
as well as to educate you at that time that this should not be happening and how you can protect yourself in this. So there are steps that we take to ensure that these people are caught
mm-hmm.
with the collaboration with the Namibian police, of course, and other stakeholders.
Most definitely. That's good to hear and assuring. So now, let's try to get into the mind a little bit of a fraudster. How do they know who to target? Maybe our phone numbers, are they online? Is it maybe using public networks? Like how do they know who to target?
HD, you are hitting on the mark with those questions, and you're answering the question.
Yeah.
So most importantly, try by all means not to use public network when you are accessing your bank.
Mm-hmm.
It includes libraries, internet cafes, airports, because that network might not be secured enough,
mm-hmm.
meaning that the guys can get your information from those networks, as well as when you're accepting cookies. Remember when you go onto a browser,
yeah.
the website will say you would like to accept cookies?
Yeah.
Those cookies save your information,
mm-hmm.
including your login information. So be very careful what public network you are using, what platforms you are using as well,
yeah.
when you're accessing your bank and so forth. Secondly, you mentioned that the fraudsters, who do they target? So one thing that we all need to remember is that our information, that's not including our ID, our names, our cell phone numbers, and sometimes account numbers,
mm-hmm.
we unknowingly put it on the public platforms, unknowingly.
Yeah.
We know that we are not putting there for bad intent. I'm a business person. I'm selling. Here's where you can inquire and so forth. So Your information, especially your ID number, your name and so forth, it's not per se that it's not, the bank does not distribute this information to anyone. That is private information.
Mm-hmm.
But what we picked up is as individuals.
Yeah.
You're looking for accommodation, you will post it online.
Yeah.
You're selling something, you'll post it online.
Exactly.
So this is how these guys tend to monitor your social surroundings, get your information, and they call you. And that is what they use to trick you.
Mm.
So I'm applauding all our clients that if you get a call from somebody stating that they are calling from an institution and they're giving you your full name, your ID number, your cell phone number, don't be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the methods they are trying to convince you with. So
yeah.
as long as you don't provide your information, nothing will happen. You'll be secured and you'll be safe.
Exactly. We've also, you know, in the media, we've seen stories about where it's reported that X amount of money has just disappeared from people's account, which usually comes, you know, with a whole lot of speculation as to exactly how that occurred. If you can briefly describe or explain how, even in situations like that, there's usually some form of human error that took place somewhere along the chain.
All right. So when it comes to that, I will not really go in depth, because this is now clients' private information and private steps that needs to take place. But what we have noticed, funds will never leave your account unaccounted for or uninitiated.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do first, we need to understand the transaction that took place.
Mm-hmm.
What type of transaction was it?
Yeah.
How was it made?
Yeah.
From the client's side, did the client compromise anything?
Yeah.
So we need to look at what caused the transaction. We need to mitigate the risk to the client as well as the bank. And we need to find a solution so that it doesn't happen again. So I believe that no funds will ever leave your account without it being initiated. Be that now unknowing or knowingly you gave out your information, there should have been a trigger that caused those funds to leave. And
mm-hmm.
as I stated before in the previous question, that there is a procedure that we follow with our external and internal stakeholders, whereby we will know what transpired and how to assist you, to educate you,
yeah.
as well as to assist you with the next step. So keep one. This is also one of the tips that I mentioned before. Monitor your accounts.
Mm-hmm.
if you are getting in contact monitor, if you are getting a notification on your app, go see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So try to keep an eye on your account so that you can know of any movement that be now authorized or unauthorized.
Okay, so lastly, the last question I have for you is, a few listeners have messaged us about losing money due to quote-unquote investment opportunities. So I just want you to explain a little bit about how it's crucial to know who and what you are quote-unquote investing in. Because, you know, unfortunately, even your own relatives could be trying to scam you via an investment and so on. And when your funds go missing, you know, it's, in some situations, it's difficult to recover. So let's talk about protecting yourselves in that manner.
All right. Authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important. So whenever you see an investment opportunities,
mm-hmm.
whether call the relevant people for confirmation. For example,
yeah,
the bank will never try to recruit you on social media.
Mm.
We will advertise our product, but our official lines are going to be there. So investment opportunity that sounds too good to be true, it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that they will target you when you're most vulnerable or when a life event is happening. We have seen an upkeep in investment fraud, especially with our late father passing on at the beginning of the year. People were being conned in either, they say you're contributing and so forth. So firstly, if it's too good to be true, it's not true.
Yeah.
Secondly, one needs to really be careful with what you're investing in and what you're reading, because on social media, there's a lot of opportunists, and they will use it like that. So I would say go to your local banks, your local financial advisors, be it now from the insurance companies,
mm-hmm.
and first inquire. This opportunity here that was brought to my table, is it something that's realistic? And also, if somebody is coming to you with an investment opportunity, you have every right to ask them for more details. How does it work? Where is this going? What are we investing in? And so forth.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that investment opportunities are all scam, but get the relevant information,
mm-hmm.
get the relevant proof
mm-hmm.
and steps for you to cover yourself. Because it'll be bad that you are investing 5,000 expecting to get 20,000 in 3 months.
Exactly.
And I didn't know that, that sounds fishy. So
yeah.
It's very important as individuals to keep an eye out, to be really curious. When you see something, question it. Put pressure on these people. Call the bank. Ask, I'm seeing this. Is this true? We will be able to assist you and try to find if it's authentic or not. So mm-hmm. investment opportunities, as well as clicking on links,
yeah.
giving your card information, these are all type of scams that the fraudsters use
mm-hmm.
to get your funds. Remember, the bank can only protect you if you protect yourself as well.
Exactly.
Do not provide your information at any cost. Do not click on links at any cost.
Keep it safe at all times. And one last time, just give us that number to call if we suspect any fraudulent activity.
061-299-2222.
100%.
Direct number for customer center.
Thank you very much, Theo. And this has been another edition of the F&B segment. Theo, thank you very much for joining us and have a good day ahead.
This has been the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia. Catch the F&B segment every Monday from 7:45.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed.
Njika Faitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende kimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashipareki uimepo yomo programa detu moambo dengera selma kodara heta tuimu datundatu heari jamano tano omiyaj Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does.
Have you heard? Get up to 50% discount at ShopRite store only up to Monday, the 16th June. 4 kilos real good frozen chicken, mixed chicken portion, 150, 175 Namibian dollar. $750 renowned French polony, 26 Namibian dollars, a 500-gram brick rama, 70% fat spread, 25 Namibian dollar, potato 7 kilos, just 99 Namibian dollars, 5 kilos marathon white sugar, and an unbelievable 90 Namibian dollars. Don't delay. Get to ShopRite today.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't...
A very good morning if you're just joining us. Our time is about 6 minutes past the hour of 8. And so got some things getting freezing here, man. Gosh. All right. So my computer is getting freeze. Ah, man. All right. Welcome. So thank you for joining us and thank you for coming through and welcome. And thanks for HD for that F&B segment, FNB Namibia segment. So welcome back. We are back now in Ondangwe studio. So we continue as usual. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. And this morning we are exploring the article in today's edition of The Villager, the article by Nino Menmavali Erastus. About the government's announcement of 135 million in electrification subsidies for distributors with the ambitious goal of connecting 200,000 household. So the story comes from The Villager, a newspaper, and details the signing ceremony of service level agreements with regional electricity distributors, led by Ben Nangobe, the executive director of the Ministry of Industries, Mine and Energy. Now, before we get into the meat of this discussion, let me paint the picture of where we stand as a country. Now, we are talking about increasing electricity access from 59% to 70% by 2030. So from 59% to 70% by 2030, that's connecting over 200,000 additional households in just 5 years. But here is where it's getting a little bit interesting. And frankly, where we need to ask some hard questions. Now, let's start with the elephant in the room. Our current electricity situation. That's the elephant in the room. Our current electricity situation. So, according to a recent Afrobarometer data, only 37% of Namibians enjoy reliable electricity supply. So, with just about 19% of rural residents having access to dependable, power. Now, that is not 59% as the government claims. So, this is much harsher reality. So, now, even more telling, around 68% of Namibians say the government is doing a poor job of providing reliable electricity supply, according now to that Afrobarometer. So, and this disapproval has climbed by 24 percent point over the past years. So we are not just talking about connecting new household. We are talking about fixing a system that many people already think is broken. So now, the government estimate there are over 300,000 households without electricity, particularly in the rural areas where 70 to 80% of households remain unelectrified. So that means this 135 million allocation, while it is very significant, it's really attempting to address a problem that is much, much, much bigger than what the numbers initially, suggest. So now, let's look at the ambitions, the mathematics of ambition versus now the reality. So now, let's talk about the math that should keep us awake at night. So the government wants to connect 200,000 households by 2030. Okay? Just follow. 200,000 households by 2030. But here's what electricity control board tell us. So currently, fewer than 4,000 houses are connected to the grid per year. 4,000 houses are connected to the grid per year. Do the math. At this rate, so by 2040, we would only manage 40,000. By 2040, not by 2030, we would only manage 40,000 to 80,000 new connections. If we go by that, by 4,000 houses are only, because the ECB, the Electricity Control Board, says currently only about as few as 4,000 houses are connected to the grid per year. So, and if you put that, and if you calculate that, this, on that rate, by 2040, for example, we would only manage 40 to 80,000, new connections. Now, to achieve the universal electrification by 2040, so we need about 30,000 new connection annually. So that nearly 8 times our current pace. that's nearly about 8 times our current pace. So the government has set aside 281 million for the 2025-2026 financial year for electrification, 251 million from the National Treasury and 30 million from the National Energy Fund. So, but here is what normally, you know, but here is what people always said. Here is the kicker, you know. So Ben Nangobe, the ED, himself admitted that the subsidy, okay, the subsidy amount is not adequate to reach the 70% target by 2030. So he is asking distributors to go beyond the allocations. So that's what he said. So go beyond the allocation and bring their and they must bring their own resources, technical teams, and donor network. So he even admitted that subsidy amount is actually not enough to reach the 70 target by 2030. So that sounds. Let's come back after this commercial quickly.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through a high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Always prepare.
All right, welcome back. And our time is about 15 minutes past the hour of 8. And yes, so now as I was saying that so even I was saying that Ben Nangobe himself admitted that the subsidy amount is not adequate to reach the 70% target by 2030. So and asking distributor to go beyond the allocation and bring their own resources, technical teams, and donor network. So that sounds like a polite way of saying, you know, we don't have enough money for this ambitious plan. So, and here's something that really get to me, I think. You know, it is critical. It is a critical issue that it doesn't get enough attention. So when the former energy minister, Toma Rendo, last year, revealed that NORED, it's an example of NORED, NORED came to the ministry reporting households that are connected to the grid but not consuming electricity because they simply can't afford it. So now, think about that moment. Think about that for a moment. So we are spending millions connecting people to the electricity they can't afford to use. So that is like building a highway. I don't know whether that makes sense. Building a highway and then pricing the toll, you know, pricing the, you know, sometimes those toll that you put on the highway. So higher that nobody can actually drive on it. So yeah, so it's more like that. So you're building, you know, you're connecting people to electricity, but they can't afford to use it. So the electricity board, control board, just approved a 3.8% tariff increase for NamPower, effective July 2025. So now raising the bulk tariff from 1.91 to 1.98 per kilowatt hour, you know, per kilowatt per hour. So this comes on top of previous increases, and with many Namibians already battling inflation and economic pressures. So we are creating a situation where electricity access becomes meaninglessly if it is unaffordable. So now let's break down where this 135 million is going, because the distribution tell us a lot about priorities and challenges as well. So the city of Windhoek get about 30 million, double what they received last year, which connected over 800 homes, mainly in peri-urban areas. The Senored received 36 million, total 20 million for household connection and 16 million for upgrading solar hybrid station in Tsunkwe and Gam. The Noret also get 30 million, while Erongoret receive about 20 million. So what is interesting is that the Oshakati Premier Electric is joining the scheme for the first time with 7 million. And the Oshakati Premium Electric is actually a joint venture between Oshakati Town Council and the Premier Electric, a NamPower subsidiary established in 2000. So they have already shown initiative. They spent 7 million. I think they spent 7 million of their own fund to electrify 588 household for free in informal settlements. So the new Kauopred, I don't know whether I pronounce it right, in the south get about 12 million, but here's where it gets a bit complicated. This distributor has been more than a decade in the making, actually, and is currently stalled due to the delay from the Attorney General's office. So, but one positive development, you know, from when we one positive development from the story when we lead from the when you analyze from the article, is the government's recognition that not every connection should come from the national grid. So the 8 million allocation to the environmental investment fund for a solar mini grid in Puros village in Kunene region represent a shift towards a technology neutral solution, you know. This makes this makes economic sense when you consider Namibia's geography. We have a population density of around 3 persons per square kilometers. So I think making a grid extension incredibly expensive. So the ministry says they will follow logic, not legacy. So when it comes to connection methods, so currently about 24% of Namibians use alternative electricity sources, with solar panels being the most popular at 36% of those using alternatives. So rural electrification through off-grid solution stand at just 20%, with only about 855 rural households connected to the grid, and about 18,324 having access to a solar energy out of 235,808 rural households. So, yeah, which, as I said, that's actually, given the Namibian geography, population intensity. So that actually make quite a lot of economic sense. All right. So, and let's also address the whole question of accountability. Okay. Nangobe himself emphasized that the SLA is not a check. It's not a check. It is a contract. A contract, and stress a stronger reporting and clear cost breakdowns and transparent procurement process based on lesson actually learned from last year's agreement. So I think this suggests that there were problems with the first round of service level agreements. So local authorities and regional councils currently owe NAMPOWER about 400 million in bulk electricity supply costs. So the government had to put some defaulting municipalities like Rehoboth on a prepaid system for purchasing electricity. So now the other thing is that the World Bank has approved Namibia's first ever World Bank financed energy project worth of 138.5 million US dollars. So to improve transition network reliability and enable renewable energy integrations. So this show international confidence in Namibia's energy sector, but it is also highlight that our challenges requires a massive external financing. So that's also indicate that we need a lot of investment from external investors as well. So yeah, and the other thing is also the electrifications discussion that are overlooked sometimes. We're trying to connect more houses. What is being overlooked sometimes is that we sometimes try to connect more houses to a system. I think that is already struggling to meet demand. Namibia import around 60% of its electricity of its electricity requirement from neighboring countries, around 60%. So our domestic generation capacity is approximately 486.5 megawatt. So, but we deliver only about 400 megawatt, creating a deficit of about 200 megawatt. So NAMPOWER generate only about 40% of that country's electricity, electricity needs, only about 40%. So the Orakana hydroelectric power, Orakana hydroelectric power station, our domestic source with 330 megawatt capacity, is a seasonal one. It's a seasonal and also vulnerable to drought conditions. So we are essentially trying to expand access to a resource we don't have enough of domestically. So now the government plans to commission about 93 megawatt of renewable energy capacity during the 2025-2026 financial year, aiming to increase a renewable energy share from 21% to 70% by 2030. So, but still not enough actually to meet the growing demand, while expanding you know, access to electricity. So, yeah. And when we look at now the region, the regional electricity distributor model, itself, present interesting challenges. The concept was developed actually to address deficiency in the fragmented electricity sector. So, including lack of revenue collections management, poor infrastructure maintenance, and inadequate investment. So, however, the NORED, for example, established in 2001, covers about six regions: Oshana, Ohangwena, Omsati, Kavango, Kaprivi, Zambezi, and Kunene. Yeah, and Kunene. So SENORED covers Ochodonjupa, part of the Oshikoto, Maheke and Kunene region, with the approximately 34,000 customers. So Erongo Red serves the coastal area and became operational in 2005. So then we have the challenge is that some regions have multiple overlapping distributors, while the southern Ob Red, I'm not sure I'm reading it right, has been delayed for over some years due to administrative issues. So this fragmentation, you know, might actually hinder the efficiency gained the RED model was supposed actually to achieve. So yeah, that's is some of the regional distribution challenge that you know, some of these REDs actually faces. And now in the article also, it's also mentioned that electricity enables, has actually a social impact dimension. So that the article also mentioned that the electricity has a social impact dimension. It enables like children to study at night, allows a rural clinic to store vaccines, and help farmers run water pumps. So it empowers home-based business and create opportunity for economic participation. But the reality is more complex. So a socioeconomic assessment of rural electrification impacts shows that while electricity access can improve healthcare, education standard, it doesn't automatically translate into economic development. So the key is ensuring that electrification is part of a broader economic development strategy. So not just an infrastructure project. It's not just an infrastructure project, but also part of a broader economic development strategy. So otherwise, we end up with expensive infrastructure that it doesn't generate economic return needed to sustain itself. So, yeah. And and I think that's an aspect that's very important, rather than just, you know, as we talked about, also that, you know, it should be affordable as well, as we talk about it, not just actually, you know, access, but it should be also affordable. Those are some realities as well. So maybe what is the realistic path forward so where does this leave us? I think we need more honest conversation about what is achievable and what is not. From when we look at the article, first, the government need to acknowledge that the current funding is insufficient for the stated goal, you know. So 135 million to for 200,000 connections over 5 years means about 675 per connection. And that is not realistic for grid extension in the rural areas. So, yes, the government need to acknowledge that the current fund is insufficient, and which in somehow they do. And that's why they're also asking their distributors actually to, you know, come up with their own resources as well. So secondly, we need to prioritize affordability alongside access. You know, there's no point connecting houses that cannot afford to use electricity. So as I said, that's one thing a former minister last year actually revealed when he gave an example of NORAD. So this might mean more targeted subsidies for low-income users or income-generating programs tied to electrifications. So, yeah, so we need to prioritize affordability, so alongside accessibility. So, and the other thing is also we're talking about the technology neutral approach, which is actually smart, but it needs more, I think it needs more resources, according to the article. Solar, mini grids, and hybrid system might be more cost effective for remote areas than grid extension, but they require actually different skills and maintenance approaches. So that could be a way to go when it comes now to remote areas and rural areas. So where the grid extension might be expensive. Yeah. So, and we need to better coordination between generation and distribution. Expanding access without expanding generation capacity just spreads the same inadequately supply more thinly, you know, not enough. All right. So, and probably let's also talk about what the whole question of accountability. Mr. Nangombe also emphasized on a strong reporting and transparent procurement is welcome, but we need more than that. We need regular public reporting on connection rates, cost per connections, and actually usage by connected, you know, household. So emphasize those strong reporting. So, and we also need honest assessment of what's working and what is not working. So if households are connected but not using electricity because they can't afford it, that's a policy failure, not a success story. So it's a policy failure. So, yeah. And the service level agreement approach could work, but only if there are really consequences for non-performance. You know, if there are, what are the real consequences? What are the you know, what are the punishment? I don't want to use the word punishment. So what are the consequences for non-performance and real support for distributors that are trying to meet their target? There should be some kind of punishment for those who don't, real consequences, and also support for the one, a real good support for the one that are actually trying to meet the target. So now, look, I'm not here to be pessimistic, you know, pessimistic about Namibia electrification efforts. The goal of universal electricity access is a noble one and necessary for our economic development. So, but we need to be realistic about the challenges. We We are trying to expand access to electricity while many people can afford what is already available. So we are setting ambitious target without adequate funding, as we have seen. And we are expanding distribution, so without sufficient generation capacity. So the 135 million dollars allocation is definitely a step in the right direction, but it's not a solution. It is a down payment, if you like. It's a down payment on a much larger challenge that require an honest planning, adequate funding, and really realistic timeline. So, most importantly, we need to ensure that electrification serves economic development. It should serve the economic development, not just infrastructure statistics. Yeah? So every connection should contribute to someone's ability to earn income. Not just their ability to turn a light on, you know, to turn a light they can't afford to keep on. Eh? So it should contribute to someone's ability to earn an income, to earn a living. So, yeah. And think about it seriously. Remember, you know, development is not just about the infrastructure we build. Eh? It's about whether that infrastructure actually improves people's lives and economic opportunities. So I think that's something that we need to think about really, really, really seriously. So what do you think? So what is your take about this ambitious dream of 135 million for 200,000 connection over 5 years. So yeah, you're most welcome. You may come through and have your reaction or your comment or your contribution on electricity in general in Namibia. So what is your take? So our telephone number, we'll open up the line now. Our telephone number is 08333 66091. 08333 66091. So we're talking about the 135 million electrification promise and whether that has been so this is actually 135 million in electrification subsidies for distributors with ambitious goals of connecting 200,000 household by 2030. So what do you think? Would that be possible given all the other analysis that we have made? So what do you think? What is your reactions and what is your contribution? So our telephone number is 08333 66091. So you may come through and have your contributions.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chika wa shafa sana nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisamwene. Anageshefa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa Olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoye, yongeshefa yoye kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimeneha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashipareki uimepo yomo programa zetu. Moambo, dengira Selma, konarahe tatu imu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oni yaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome to Eagle FM. Our time is about quarter to nine. 45 minutes past past eight and quarter to nine. And you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. And today we were just looking at our first item. We're looking at this is an article in today's edition, by Nino Menovari Erastus, about, 135 million in, the government announcement of 135 million in electrification, subsidies for distributors, with really ambitions, of connecting 200,000 households. So looking at that, we painted a picture where we stand as a country. We're talking about increasing electricity access from 59% to 70% by 2030. And that is connecting over 200,000 additional household in just 5 years. So and that become very, very, very interesting, because when you're looking at, according to as I said, Afrobarometer's data, only about 37% of Namibian enjoy a reliable electricity supply, and with just 19% of rural residents having access to dependable power. So, and now the government also estimated there are over 300 households without electricity, particularly in the rural areas, where 70 to 80% of households remain unelectrified, if that's a right word. So that means this 135 million allocation, while it is important, while it is significant, you know, it is an attempt. It's really attempting to address a problem that is much, 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 much bigger than what the number is actually, you know, suggesting. So, if you look at the reality, what the electricity control board said just a month ago, So currently, fewer than 4,000 houses are connected to the grid per year. You know, 4,000 houses are connected to the grid per year. Now, given now that rate, yeah, if you take that rate by 20, because our universal access to electricity, universal access to electricity is by 2040. So this rate by 2040, we will only manage 40,000 to 80,000 new connections. So, and the government wants to connect 200,000 households by 2030. So that math, it doesn't really make sense at all. So, and remember, as I said, to achieve our universal electrification by 2040, we need about 30,000 new connection annually. So, and that's nearly eight times our current pace. So the government has set aside, if you look into our 2025-2026 financial year, 281 million for the financial year for electrifications. So even, you know, the money is just not enough to be able to do what we say we will do. So what is your take? Our telephone number again is 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So have you ever heard get up to 50% discount at any ShopRite store only up to Monday, the 16th of June? A 4 kilos a real good frozen mixed chicken portion, $175, 750 gram renowned French polony, $26, a 500 gram brick rama, 70% fat spread, as $25, potatoes, 7 kilos, just $99, 5 kilos marathon white sugar, an unbeatable $90. Don't delay, get to ShopRite today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Michael. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm right, my brother.
Yeah, how is Vintage?
How was the weekend? How was the weekend?
Well, the weekend was okay. For me, it was actually busy, you know. But, of course, it was okay. Winter time is always good for me. I can do anything.
For me also, yeah. Sometimes it's better to stay indoor. Like now, it's so cold.
Yeah.
Ah, man. Looking at the Club World Cup. Just imagine a team losing 10-0. man.
It's a contrast of things. You know, you have a 10 World Cup, FIFA Club World Cup, you know, with somebody losing 10-0, and then here you have also Israel and Iran are bombing each other, you know.
One thing also we never ask ourselves, why Italy want to eliminate the Jewish community?
Who want to do what?
Hitler. Yeah, Adolf Hitler, why was he want to eliminate Jewish people? We never ask that question. But look around us. Who owned the Israel? Who owned even the entertainment industry?
Hitler wanted the pure blood.
And the bank.
He wanted the pure blood. He didn't want any mixed blood or something like that.
I'm telling you. But me, I'm happy at least China, they come on the side of Iran. That is, I think it's enough is enough, man.
Ah, you know what? Those, even if that, they, how long has been, look at what happened in Gaza, you know? Yeah. So how long that has been going on? Security councils come together, they condemn Israel, and
nothing, nobody taking action.
And since we were born, since we're young boys, we hear this war between Israel and Palestine, and up to now, there's nothing happened, you know.
Nothing happened up to now, yeah.
Whatever happened between Iran and Israel, that's gonna go on. They're gonna bomb bomb each other, and they're gonna kill the peoples. Yeah. So if America is involved, you're more likely not gonna do anything anyway.
Nothing. Yeah. People sit by side like looking at what is happening. But at least I'm sure with Iran now involvement, things are going to be sour. Because I'm telling you, people have, now we are living in the sand where the people are getting tired.
Yeah.
And the retention, I'm telling you, once you've been colonized and you know when you are chasing even an animal, and the animal just turn around in the survival mode, you also stand a bit, because now you stand to check what is the reaction.
Yeah.
And now I think it's enough time, my friend. People have been bullied by these countries.
Yeah.
And look, who's really, when it comes to American allies, if you look at Israel, you look at France, England, and the others, comparing to China, North Korea, you talk about India, you talk about even Brazil, the other side, South Africa. So I